Well, our catechism question this morning is question number 32. What is justification? And this is part of a series of questions dealing with the benefits of effectual calling. And this morning we deal with this tremendous subject of justification. What it is, what it does, what it achieves, on what basis and how it is received. First of all, what is justification? It's important to define what something is before we can understand the benefits of it. And our catechism question says, justification is an act of God's free grace. That's a tremendous statement. That justification is an act of God. You remember in John chapter 6 when those who came to the Lord Jesus asking what they could do to do the works of God, and the Lord Jesus rebukes them in so many words, and he says the work of God is this. And here we have the same type of terminology. Justification first and foremost is an act of God's free grace. It's not something we earn, it's not something we achieve, it's not something we cooperate with God on. No, it's an act of God. God freely and graciously justifies believers. But then secondly, what it does, it says, wherein he pardons all our sins. What a wonderful statement that is. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins. No sin is left unforgiven. Every sin is pardoned. Every sin is forgiven. That's why it's free grace. If it was something that we had to somehow merit to some degree, well then we couldn't say all our sins. We'd say, well, possibly all our sins, or maybe all our sins. No, but because it's God's free and unmerited grace, therefore we can say all sins are forgiven. All sins are pardoned. And so we read in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 24. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 7 reads, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then thirdly, what justification achieves and accepts us as righteous in his sight. What a tremendous statement again this is. That we are accepted, according to Ephesians 1 verse 7, accepted in the beloved, but we're accepted as righteous, as if we had done the law of God, as if we had fully obeyed the law of God, as if we had lived the life that Christ lived. That's what justification means. If some people say, justification means just as if we never sinned. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. It's a positive declaration of righteousness. It's saying that we are righteous in Christ. Not that we are righteous of ourselves. Of course we're not. But it's a legal declaration of righteousness. Not just innocence, but positive righteousness in his sight. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And just in the same way that Jesus did not literally become a sinner, he was regarded as a sinner, he was counted as a sinner. So we are not literally righteous in ourselves, but we are counted as righteous. We are regarded as righteous. It is the great doctrine of substitution included in that verse. But then fourthly, on what basis? only, and again, important to emphasize that word, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Now that doesn't mean, let me be careful, because the word imputed might sound like righteousness is put into us. No, that's not what it means. That's imparted righteousness. That's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. That God actually takes righteousness and puts it into us. No, that's not what the scripture teaches. The word imputed means to be reckoned or to be counted as righteous. So the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to our account. It's added to our account, not put into us, but regarded as something that we possess based on the merits and favor of God in Jesus Christ. So therefore we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Just in the same way that we are sinners as a result of Adam's transgression and disobedience, and it wasn't something that we actively had a part in, and yet are counted guilty in Adam, so just in the same way, we had no part to play in the obedience of Christ, but are regarded as righteous in him because of his obedience. And then finally, how it is received. I know we've gone very quickly over those things, but that's the way we deal with our catechism each Lord's Day. Fifthly, how it's received. And received again by faith alone. Important, that word alone. The only way we can be accepted as righteous before God is by faith alone. And let me just mention briefly again this morning, as I often do on the Lord's Day, how well this question fits in with our sermon this morning. We'll be looking at the account of the rich young ruler, and you can see, can't you, how well this fits in with that account, that we are received only by faith. There's no other basis, because we can't obey the law of God. We've already broken God's law, even by nature. Therefore, the only way we can be accepted is by faith alone. Therefore, we read in Galatians chapter 2, and the verse 16, Galatians 2 and 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And Philippians 3 and verse 9, Philippians 3 and verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone.